Hi, I'm Tom Atkins. I'm the pastor of a couple tiny little churches in Vermont. And this week in church, our sermon was built around Psalm 112. Let me read it to you. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find a great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news, and their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Yes, their hearts are secure. They will have no fear, and in the end they will look in triumph at their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor, and their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honor. If you had been in our little church on Sunday morning, you would have heard me ask the question, what do you fear? Because we all have fears. And I think right now, the times that we're living in, the times of anger and also times of uncertainty, there's a lot of different fears. You would have heard answers like terrorism, financial disaster. You would have heard China, Russia, crime and drugs. You would have heard failing. You would have heard about shame or financial failure or failing health. And on top of that, some of us fear God. And that's hard, isn't it? But we see time and time again in the Bible the phrase saying that we need to have fear of the Lord. And we have some good reason to be afraid. Because when God punished in the Bible, He didn't mess around. He struck people dead. He destroyed cities. He sent plagues. He sent down lightning. And He sent people to hell. And I don't know about you, I carried a lot of those images around with me for a long time from Sunday school. And some preachers make sure we don't forget them. And they preach a fear-based gospel, where it's fear of going to hell that keeps us in line. This is a tool to help us live a good life, to maybe scare us into heaven. We had to live well or be punished. Now, that was tough for me. I'll tell you the truth. It was tough. To somehow make the vengeful God that we remember and all the punishment that we read about in the Old Testament work with the God of love that we read about in the New Testament that teaches us to love, that gave us the golden rule. How do we make those two fit? It turned out not to be as hard as I imagined. But we can only understand if we dig a little bit and we do a little grammar and look at the linguistics and the study of the language. So that's what we're going to start out doing this morning. First of all, we need to understand that Aramaic had more than one word for fear. The one that's used most often is yare, Y-A-R-E. It's a specific kind of respect and awe and submission to a God because of our respect and awe. It's what's called familiar fear. It springs out of respect. It's the same kind of not wanting to disappoint that we had when we were kids and we loved our parents and we felt badly when we disappointed them. So we chose to submit them. Not because we're afraid of the punishment, but because we're afraid of that disappointment. The word that's used less often in the Bible in this phrase comes from the word phobos, as in phobia. It's a complete fear of the consequences, almost irrational in its intensity. It could also be defined maybe as terror. And you see, the thing is, both words are generally translated as fear in the Bible. So sometimes we have fear of God, yare, sometimes we have fear of God, phobos. And how do we know which one is meant when we read? Well, fortunately, we have a way. Because there's also another word in the Bible that gives us a clue. When we read yare, this great respect and honor and awe, it's almost translated, almost always used with the word that's translated the Lord. and Phobos is almost always used with the word translated God. So that means when we read the phrase fear of the Lord, which is the one that's used vastly more often than any other else, the Bible is talking about respect and awe and honor. Which is why when we read verses like Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Or Psalm 111, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Or Psalm 34, come children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Keep your tongue from evil, your lips from speaking deceit. Seek peace and pursue it. By far, this phrase is the way it's used in the Bible. This seems to be the way that God wants us to fear Him. He wants us to know and love and respect His power, know and love and respect His ways because they are good for us. We can trust His best desires to us, and it gives us a reason to follow His ways without living in constant terror. Now, there are, however, a few places where the Bible talks about fearing God, not the Lord, but having the fear of God. And when you see this phrase in the Bible, it is almost always a fear of punishment, of having done something wrong, of having God's wrath thrown down on us, and it is a scary thing. But what is often going on is that there are a lot of promises of what's in store if we have the right kind of fear, the fear of the Lord. And with that background, let's go back and look at our verses in Psalm 11. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in His commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Starting to see some promises, aren't we? Wealth and riches are in their houses. Their righteousness endures forever, even in darkness. Light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. And the list just goes on. Good will come to them, it tells. We're told we will not be shaken. We will be remembered forever. We do not need to fear bad news. Our hearts can be secure. It also says that the wicked will be vexed. But only if we have the fear of the Lord, the right kind of fear. You see, that right kind of fear opens our hearts and our lives to His possibilities. We should be afraid of this great and wonderful God, but less of punishment than not getting the benefits of what God offers, of not having the fullness of God's love showered on us, and not getting to live in His grace, and not having eternal life. Less because we're bad and being punished than because we have not lived in ways that will allow us to gain those benefits. I'd like you to remember this little talk the next time when we read or hear someone talk about how we have to fear God. There's a very good chance it's being misquoted, because what we have to do is love and honor and respect and feel the awe of a God who is so powerful and whose love is so true, because that's how God wants to be seen and experienced. That's why He writes fear of the Lord so often, not as the great punisher, but as the one who has the power and the ways to help us be everything that we want to be and everything He wants us to be. The best we can be, literally forever. Will you pray with me? This morning, Heavenly Father, we pray for each other, that we rediscover and reclaim the awe of a God who is mighty, both in His power and His love. Help us know these things and be awed and submit to that love so that we can have the abundant life Christ wishes for us, the abundant life that God wishes for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.